Greetings to us again this evening. And you know, by now, it's just starting to feel like my family. I can just share with my brothers and sisters like I would at home. This has been a blessing for me. I don't know if you will go home blessed or not, but I'm going to go home blessed because God's word is so true and it is so full and it has given me so much to think about. And I have so much to live up to. This Jesus who died and saved me from my sins. And you know, when he was sharing with little children here, aren't we just all little children? You know, we just have these seeds going into our hearts and we just have to cultivate these weeds. And Paul said, you know, I die daily. I die daily. You know, just take those hoes and just take a hoe and just hack those weeds out. And you know, do you know what the seeds are for the weeds? You know what those seeds are? Would someone like to answer that question for me? A suggestion on what the seeds are that the wicked one sows in our heart. What are those seeds? Any thoughts? Selfishness? When I said any thoughts, that's what it is. It's our thoughts. It's our thoughts. You know, if somebody's an alcoholic and a drunk, you don't see the devil come in with a beer and set it in front of him. No, but he messes with your thoughts. Those where those wicked darts come from, those seeds of evil, is those thoughts that he will throw at us, and he will try to get those things to settle in our heart and to start growing. When we meditate on those thoughts and we start playing with them, then that weed grows, and it will defile us. It will snuff out the good seed. And so every day, we have to clean our thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have to remember that and keep those thoughts clean. Tonight, this is... I'm still not quite sure where I'm going tonight. I am not qualified to speak about respect in the home and in the family. If I go by what I experienced in growing up and what I experienced in my life, in the first 40-some years, and I am not qualified at all to speak about this. But when we talk about respect, you know, what is respect? Let's think about that a little bit. King David, God said, here's a man after mine own heart. And yet, if any of us would do the sins that David did, we would really struggle with that, wouldn't we? How could God say, this is a man after my own heart, after David did the sins that he did? There's something about David that we want to read, that we want to understand. And I will go there, well, maybe I'll go there now since I started there. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 24. I think it's very, very important that we understand this because it has to do with respect in the utmost way. In 1 Samuel 24, it reads like this. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And we know that David fled Saul for probably approximately 20 years. And Saul was going after David. He wanted to get rid of him. He despised David. And he wanted to get rid of him. And the main reason he despised him was because of jealousy. It says, and he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was the cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And this to me was amazing. It was the very cave that David and his men were hiding in. Saul comes in there, and he lies down, he covers his feet, and he actually falls asleep. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. He just did it quietly. He snuck up and he cut off a little piece of Saul's robe. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Oh, why did I do that? And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. David had a respect for the Lord's anointed, even when the Lord's anointed was not following in the Lord's ways. But he understood God's order, and he had respect for God's order. And I think that is why God said, this is a man after my own heart. Because he understood God's order and he respected God's order. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And we know how David stepped outside and he yelled after Saul and said, see this? You know, today God put him in your hands, but, you know, he didn't go against his anointed. If we go to 1 Samuel 26, in verse 4, it says, now Saul was going after David again. So David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, the brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him, and they were just sleeping. Then said Abishai to David, God had delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. Just tell me to do it, and I will get rid of your enemy for you. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. And that is the first thing for us. If we want to know anything about respect, we have to understand God, his order, and his anointed. And when we go against that, that is not respect. And I do believe in all the mistakes David made, God was able to say, a man after mine own heart, because David understood the order of God. Let's just think about that. So before I go further, let me just give you something to think about. In the church, we have ministry, we have elders, we have deacons, we have brethren. In the families, we have fathers, we have mothers, we have the older brothers and sisters, the younger brothers and sisters. In school, we have a teacher, and we have the pupils. We have board members. We have youth leaders. Let's understand God's order, that when the church appoints someone with a position, then we need to understand that order and respect that. And every time that person makes a mistake, we disrespect him. That is not God's order. See, Saul made huge mistakes. Saul was going against David, trying to kill him, but David would not go against God's anointed. So I'm here to tell you tonight, children, my heart is always with the children. And I think Jesus was too. He said, let the little children come unto me. Don't push them away. Is your mommy and daddies have been appointed by God to be your authority. And if you do not respect that, don't expect to get God's blessings, because you will not. You cannot defy God and go against his perfect will and his perfect plan and expect to have his blessing. You will fight your way through life all your life without his blessing if you do not honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment that has a promise. We can't get away from it, and you don't want to get away from it, because your mommy and daddies love you more than anybody else ever will. If we have godly parents, I should add to that. Because if you have godly parents, they love you and they care about your spiritual well-being. And you can do things toward them that are bad, that are evil, that are hateful, that are bitter, and you can walk away from them. And it doesn't matter if it's 30 years later. If you come back, they will always receive you back to them again. That's what mom and daddies do. They love you and they care for you if they are godly parents. So let's always remember that. That is respect. But let's start at the beginning. Why do we struggle so hard with respect? Why do we have such a hard time? If I would ask all the youth, why sometimes do you feel so empty? Why sometimes do we just feel void? Why sometimes does life just feel like there just isn't much there? And then we try so hard to do something about it. Why is that? Well, it's something that can be explained why. Because when God created Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and he was on the ground here in a form, but he was dead, God said that he blew a living breath into Adam. He became a living soul. God himself entered into Adam and he became alive. But what happened? After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God removed himself from Adam. And what happened to Adam when God removed himself? Well, the same thing that happens to a plastic milk jug. If you vacuum suck all the air out of it, what happens to it? It will go totally flat. It will deflate. And that's what happened with us. We are deflated human beings who don't like to be deflated. So we try so hard to fill that void that happened when God came out of man again. We try so hard to fill that void with all these things. With all these things. And that's just how it is. And now I want to talk to the daddies. Because if we want to have respect in the home, there are some things we need to understand. And that is that, daddies, it is our responsibility to make so that void is filled with something other than worldly and selfish and fleshly things. And there's only one thing that can fill it, and that's God himself. And God is what? God is love. We'll come back to the subject of love. But I do believe that this is how it works. That if we have daddies and we have mommies who are filled with God's love in their heart, and remember, it's like a cup that's overflowing. It can't contain it. It flows over. And if we have little children and the love of God is in our hearts and it is pouring into the little children, I think it makes, you know, there's no guarantee to anything. We're human. But I really think that it satisfies those little children. I really think those little children will be more contented when they feel that love and that acceptance. It's from God, through you, to them. And if we do that, they won't feel empty. They will be able to play in a more contented way. They will be able to go through life in a more contented way. But when we don't feel that, because we are occupied, number one, we don't even realize maybe that this is what's going on. We might be ignorant to the fact, what is our duty to do? You know, we'll play ball with them and we'll do this and we'll do that. We'll take them fishing. We'll do all these things. But those are just outside things. That is not filling the void. It's not filling the emptiness. Actually, if we're not careful, we're just teaching them to fill the emptiness with these things. But a godly home where there's love and there's this is working, I think it will bless the children. And if we don't, if we're preoccupied and we miss this, and they come up to the age, you know, when you have a lot of contention amongst the children, just bickering and nabbing and stuff, then there's emptiness there. Always remember that. There's emptiness there. And when there's emptiness there, it is really hard to have true respect. To be respectful to each other, to be kind-hearted, and to do those things in a family is so hard when there's emptiness there. And so, as parents, we so many times we get so involved in this world. And what really hinders us the most is because of how we grew up ourselves. Many, many of us grew up empty ourselves. So what are you going to do? You going to blame your parents because you grew up empty? You can if you want to, but you'll never change if you do. Remember, we're empty because of what happened way back in the garden. That's why we're empty. And so, when bad things happen in our childhood and we have a lot of fear and a lot of anxieties and a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, then we don't know how to share that with our children. We have a hard time letting that love flow through us because when the children do something that makes us feel, we so easily feel threatened. And we so easily feel like we're misunderstood. And so what we'll do is we'll actually lash out. Because we get this feeling of being, we feel like they don't respect us. We feel like, you know, we feel mistreated. We feel like, and so we lash out to them. And we're doing exactly the opposite of what we need to be doing. To fill that tank with love. Because when love is missing, respect will be missing. Respect will be missing. And so for respect to really be function of family, I'm like, well, where do I go with this? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and just read as something that Paul shared with Timothy that we're going to have to watch out for. And youth, I want you to listen to this very carefully. And I want you to remember something, and that is that I also was a youth. All your mom and daddies at one time were youth. You know, I'll share with a 15-year-old, and we're sharing, or a 14-year-old, and you know, they really think sometimes that they know quite a bit. And not realizing that you know, some of us have lived 15 years four times already. You know, we were not only 15, but then we were 15 again, and then we watched our children become 15, and now we watch our grandchildren become 15. And, you know, we have experienced a little bit something. And there's one thing that you don't want to do is don't snuff out the wisdom that your children have. Children sometimes have awesome good ideas. What they lack, though, is experience. And not all those good ideas work out. And some ideas, you don't know for sure if they're going to work for maybe 15, 20 years before you know it's a good idea. So you have to be very, very careful. But in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, how can you be respectful to your family when you're lovers of your own selves? It's just not going to work. But he's warning us. They will be covetous. They will be boasters and proud. They will be blasphemers. And they will be disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Just the opposite of being respectful in the home. Just the opposite. But Paul's warning Timothy that time is going to come when this is going to be, these things are going to happen. They are without natural affection. They're truth breakers. You know, they don't keep their word. They're false accusers. They blame people for things that aren't even true. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They even say haughty things about the others that are being good. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away, it says. So that's just a warning. That's just a warning of what happens, what we have to face in the last days that we're in, and how people are going to be, and how, you know, they're just going to be so disrespectful. They're just going to go after their own things. I'm going to turn to Colossians 3. I wrote verse 18 down, so I don't even remember what that was. Okay, now we're in a subject that I don't qualify for sure. But there's something that we have to talk about. Because if we want respect in our homes, now I'm going to share this before I start. We have some children that left home. And in that, in the last 20-some years, I have studied families. What happens
When a family has children leave home, what is going on? And I've studied this. And I've studied the parents. I've talked with them and shared with them. And I find something that happens, I'm going to say almost 100% of the time.
You can do with it what you want. You can do your own study. Well, this is what I find.
There's undermining going on in the family. Either mom is not being respectful to dad, dad is not being loving to mom, or mom is undermining dad in the decisions that he makes. There's always something going on in mom and dad's lives that are not functioning properly in God's order. That's why the children are wondering. I don't want to say that it always is that way. You don't, not all children that grow up that way will leave. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when children do leave, the first thing you want to do is go into your own heart, mom and dad, start talking about it, start praying about it, start saying, what is going on? Why would my child rather be somewhere else than here with us? We're the ones that love them. Ask yourself.
And I'm not picking on anybody but myself, because this is what I had to figure out about myself.
When I am being impatient with my wife, when I am not loving her, she's not respecting me, or if I'm not hurting her, she's not treating me like that. What happens is, God has given us an ordained order for us to follow. And if we do not follow in that order, respect will be lost.
Respect is something that is earned, it is not forced. So I'm going to start with verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Why would it say that? Be not bitter against them. Now we have some newlyweds here. I can't imagine them feeling bitter at their wife.
All they feel is love.
What happens? Why would it say that? Children, obey your parents in all things. See, it doesn't say obey your parents when they're kind and good to you. Obey your parents when they let you do what you want to do. That's not what it says. It says obey your parents in all things. This is a command that comes from God in His holy word. This is not me talking. This is God talking. So if you disobey this, you're disobeying God. It's a direct violation of His word. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Oh, have I done that? That's why I say I don't qualify. I can't stand up here and say you have to do this, this, and this, because that's what I did and it worked. I just simply can't do that. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I've talked to boys who were discouraged. I've talked to boys who were run away from home. Maybe they were only 15, 16 years old, and they ran away from home. And then later, I talked to them. I says, what happened? They said, I was just so discouraged. I just didn't know what else to do. Raising a family is not a picnic. It's a lot of hard work. And the biggest job is right here. Mommies and daddies, the biggest job is in our own heart. More is caught than is taught. I taught that 30 years ago. I had topics in school meetings, and you know, I taught that a long time ago. More is caught than is taught. But you know what? I still didn't live it right. You can know it. The longest trip in the world is from here to here. You can know it, but knowing it means nothing unless you do it, obey it. So to have respect in the home, these things have to happen. So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. I'm going to leave that part right now, and I'm going to go over to Ephesians 5:22. Because I think it gives us a little bit more teaching about it without me having to give my own explanation to it. Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What? I didn't say that, women. Don't blame me. Don't get upset at me for sharing this, because I didn't say that. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wow. You know, I don't blame you, women, if you struggle with that. I don't blame you. It's a hard thing to ask from you, but it's God's word, and it's what you need to do. Because you teach your children something very awesome and splendid and wonderful when you do it. But when you don't do it, you will undermine your husband. And when you undermine your husband, there's a good chance you will lose your children to the world. That's how it works. I will never forget. I don't think I will. One night when John called me, he says, Robert, you want to go with me? We had an older couple there in their 80s. And the wife was on her deathbed. Her mind went in and out sometimes, but she was still a baby. And she was really troubled because she was afraid that she did not have the Holy Spirit and she was ready to die. And she wasn't sure she was ready to die. So I went over and I picked up John and we go over there and we're talking with her. And finally, I went up next to her where she was. I got on my knees and kind of slid down beside her. I said, what is it that makes you feel like you don't have the Holy Spirit? What are you afraid of? And she said, well, I just know that I undermine my husband. Raising up the children. And her husband is 80-something years old. He's sitting there with the Spirit going down the street. He knew his wife was going to have the Holy Spirit. He knew that. She did not know. And here she's sharing these things. Her daughter's sitting here. Everybody's crying. And I said, well, what do you want to do about it? Would you like to tell us? Jesus? I said, would you please? We start talking to Jesus. Just tell him what you did. Tell him your story. Tell him your story. And she did. She just said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I undermined my husband. I'm so sorry for what I did to the children. I didn't teach any respect to the daddy. I don't remember what all she said, but she said, I'm just so sorry. And you know what? She was great with that. And I was so glad. It was too late in life to show me that. All the damage had been done. And then they asked me to preach at the funeral. So I shared this experience at the funeral, and I had quite a few family people come up to me later. And they were just so blessed that I shared that, because they said we always knew. We always knew there was a problem. You know, some of the children had a hard time. We always knew there was a problem, and we just never knew if she ever admitted it or not. But she did. At the last, she did. Wives, don't wait for that. Don't wait for that last minute. Once you have grandchildren grown, you have children that have made bad choices because you undermine the father in the home and you challenge his authority and you went against his teachings, maybe not out front, but behind his back. The children know. The children know where your heart is, mamas. They know exactly where you are. They know. Husbands, listen to this, husbands, and this is where I fail. Sorry. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, if you want respect in the home, and you love your wives, and the wives respect you and submit, and this is God's order, this is what his word calls for, you will have respect in the home. The children will respect that. They might not always agree with your decisions for them, but they will respect it because they know that you are in God's order. It's a must. We can't get around this. It's a must. It's God's order. It's what He ordained us to do. It's what He calls us to do. It's what He demands us to do. It's what He commands us to do. And we need to do it. And when we're struggling with it, then there's probably something in our life that is making us struggle with it. And we have to deal with it. You know, so many times when you try to share with a family this situation, and you try to share with them, they will always blame. They'll blame the church. They'll blame this. They'll blame that. They'll blame this. They'll blame that. And you will never get anywhere. We will never grow spiritually when we blame. It just doesn't work to blame. There's only one to blame, and it's right back here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why did He give Himself? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And I really think, you know, we ask the question, what came first? You know, when you have a family that is struggling with disrespect and the order of the home is not proper, what went wrong first? Did the husband not love the wife, therefore the wife did not respect him? Or did the wife not respect the husband, therefore the husband had a hard time loving her? I think every home probably started on one side or the other. The point is that why did the second partner start doing his wrong too? We have to go back. I was talking to somebody the other day who is not a Christian and is struggling with her husband. And she did buy a Bible now, and she's starting to read her Bible. And I told her, you know, just bless him. Bless him. Show him you love him. Do good things to love. Show that you love him. Just do your part. Bless him. Respect him. And then the next day she was going to take dinner home for him because she wanted to bless him, she said, because then maybe he would bless her too. And I said, sorry, it won't work. That's manipulation. He'll see right through that. If you do good things for him just so he does good things to you, that's manipulation. He'll see that's so false to me. Women, you have to submit to your husbands because he's your husband. That's why. Not because he does everything right, but because he is ordained by God, he's your husband. That's why you submit to him. Not so that he loves you. Men, you love your wife because she is your wife and you are commanded to love her. Not so that she will respect you. It's God's order. It's how it has to be. This is not me. This is God. This is God's word. And this is what God says. And when these things are out of order, the respect in the home will fly apart. Children will be bickering constantly. They will have issues with each other. They will not be respectful. They'll argue whose turn is to do chores. They'll fuss about this. They'll fuss about that. Long time ago, I had Alfred Gingrich back in the early 90s. I had to get a topic one time in school meeting. I heard him say what he said. There was a lot of bickering about you know, if I was not a dad, I was a married man and had no children, and I was all the things that I was going to have to do. You know what? I was a kid. 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 I was a kid.
Even the word of God.
walk in that. It says, train up a child the way he shall go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. It does not say, teach up a child the way he shall go. That's what we try. We try to teach him everything. We tell him this, we tell him that, we tell him that. Training is not, it's teaching and discipline and showing all put together into a package. When you only talk, you're just talking. But when you train and you teach and you discipline and you show, he'll never forget it. He'll never forget it. We have a tremendous responsibility, because remember what I said earlier today or whenever it was, that if I offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better that a millstone would be tied around my neck and I'd be cast in the sea where the water is the deepest. And when I look at my children, I look at the burdens I've caused them. You know, quite a few of them have moved through now. You know, we've repented. And we're drawing together. And now they're talking to me about their children. And now they realize, you know, and we're trying to bring this together. We want them all to become saved. But it's so much more work when you messed up first. So much more work. But it can't be done. God's grace and his mercy and his love endureth forever. It is, that's the beauty part of it. You know, I don't have to stand here without hope. I can know that Jesus says, God has forgiven me for my faults and my failures and my sins. And I have something to proclaim. I can tell you and I can assure you that God will help you through. But you have to recognize your flaws. You have to be able to recognize your faults. You have to be able to accept your faults. And you have to be able to face them. And you have to be able to deal with them and repent from them. But maybe I'm speaking out of context. Maybe I'm in a church building right now where all the fathers love the mothers the way they're supposed to. All the wives reverence the parents, the fathers the way they're supposed to. And maybe I'm saying a whole bunch of things here that are totally out of context. I don't know because I don't live here. But I'll let you be that judge. All I know is I was asked to talk about respect in the home, and that's what I'm doing. If it doesn't fit you, then that's okay. Praise the Lord. But if it fits you, don't walk away here the same as you came. Please don't. If it fits you, go home and do something about it. Please do. For the sake of the little children, please do something about it. It's a hard thing. Self dies so hard. But he can die. And you know, the beauty of having peace, brothers and sisters, how may I share it? After coming through a life that we have, with all the burdens, and all the cares, and all the fears, and all the hurts, and all the rejection, and all the pain that we went through. My daddy died in 1987, a long time ago. And if I could just see my dad now, you know what I would say. I understand your pain. I understand how alone you are. I understand how much you just wanted love. You didn't know what it is. I understand. No anger. No anger. No bitterness. Just a sadness. But I would love to share that with you.
You can know when you've dealt with all the issues and pain in your life, when you can talk about it and you can have a sweet peace.
Sure, you cry. Of course you cry, because it's what happened. You can't change it. But you don't have to think about it anymore. Jesus can take all of the things and look at him.
He can bless you. He can give you joy. He can give you joy. In chapter 6, it says this. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, we talked about, you know, in chapter 5, the wives and the husbands, and how this has to blend, and how this has to be. We have to be in the order that God ordained us to be. When the woman tries to be the head of the home, because she gets impatient when the husband, some husbands don't lead like they could or should. And then sometimes the women get impatient and they step out of their role trying to make things happen. But as soon as you do that, you're outside God's order. You can't do that. You have to wait. You can encourage him. You can make suggestions. Don't you think it would be best if we would do this? But if he says, well, maybe, but not now, then you have to wait. As long as it's not something that's spiritually tearing things down, okay? But you can't get out of God's order. God's order is always there. And when you stay in God's order, and you understand God's order, and you stay there, he's going to say, there is one after mine own heart. There's one after my own heart. But when we get out of the order he gave us, how shall he say that about us? How shall he say that about us? So children, it's just so important that you honor one another. But when you see dad and mom discussing things in a spiritual way, and when there's something to discuss that you're not sure that you are kind of agreed with how you feel, don't do it in front of the children. Do it when you're alone, so that when you do have to work it out to get to something, they don't wonder, well, are mom and dad not one? Don't break down that respect. Respect is something that's earned. So we have to live together in such a way that the children can respect our decisions and that they won't go to mom and say, can I do this and this because, you know, dad, he... And mom will say, well, why would dad say that? He knows there's nothing wrong if you do that. Oh my, you know what you just did? That's what you do when you undermine the husband in the home. That's what you do. Stick with your children. Yeah? Just stick up for them against dad's word. You will undermine the authority figure. And if you undermine the authority figure, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a broken heart years down the road. Because those very same children are going to do things that are going to break your heart. And you're going to wonder, why would they do that? Here I love them so much. Why do they do that? And then you'll say, well, it's because of the ministry. The ministry are always talking to them, or the church, or they're just not accepted in church, or they're just picked on. And you're going to blame it on all these things. But you're not going to look in the mirror and realize that you did it. We mess up our own things with the way we function. And so, brothers and sisters, if we want respect, we have to be respectful. You cannot tell somebody, you have to respect me. No. But we can live in such a way that they want to respect us. So husbands, if you want your wives to respect you, love them. Have you noticed that the Bible doesn't really tell women to love men? Only one place, and that's in Titus, where it tells the older women teach younger women to love their own husbands. Okay, that's the only place that I know of that it says that. But it says more than once that men, you should love your husbands. Why is that? Because it is natural for a woman to love her husband. It's just natural. It's what she wants to do. She will make your best. When you first get married, she'll make your best food and she'll do the things that you like to do. And she will because she will love you. That's what women do. They love. But you know what happens? We're not respectful, men. We're out working in the shop. We're doing something. Maybe we have to change a tire on the car. And she says, supper's ready, honey. It's 5:30. Pretty soon it's 5:45. Pretty soon it's 5:50. And you just haven't come in yet. The first time you do it, she might be understanding. But the third or fourth time you do that, she starts thinking, well, doesn't he love me anymore? Doesn't he care enough about me to come when I have supper ready? See what I said about those thoughts are weeds? Those thoughts will start toying in her mind. And if she doesn't share those thoughts with him, he won't even think of them. He doesn't realize what he's doing to her. He doesn't realize that he's actually making it harder and harder for her to love him because she's not sure if she trusts his love now. Because he doesn't respect her time. Literally, I know a man that would come in quite often late. So one day he comes in late. And the food was getting cold. And he was grumbling, well, why is my food so cold? And he was grumbling. And she goes, well, it's the third time I warmed it up. See what happens? That's how these things, disrespecting things, get into the homes. It's not through the big things. We had a house burned down once. We lost everything we had. Did that make my wife and I not love each other? No, we clung together and we clung to Jesus and we loved each other for it. We had a baby die. You think we didn't love each other? Well, sure we loved each other even more. We had another baby die. Those aren't the things that separate you. It's those little things. Those little inconsiderate things when we're not respectful of each other's time. You know, she works hard to make your supper. She's got children to take care of. And between taking care of the children, she makes dinner. She tries to have it ready for you. She loves you. She wants to bless you with good food. And then you don't come in for an hour. And you do that too many times, pretty soon she starts doubting your love for her. Which came first? And as she starts doubting this love, she starts doubting your decisions, and she starts undermining you a little bit because that frustration, that irritation starts coming out in front of the children. Now it starts undermining your authority, and respect starts to be lost in the home. And whose fault is it? We blame the wife. She's undermining me. But who started it? I am pretty sure, because women love naturally love, I am pretty sure that if the husband would do what the Bible says and love her as Christ loved us, that she would never stop loving her. And I am bound to think that it takes a pretty hard-hearted woman to undermine her husband when he's loving her the way the Bible teaches him to. I really think that's true. So before we start throwing things at the women too much, let's stop and think about where it started. Starts on our fathers, because we don't feel like women. Women feel everything. You know, and who am I to talk about it? Because I'm not a woman. They say, well, you don't understand me. You're not a woman. Well, maybe I'm not, but I sure have lived with one for 40 years, and I've raised daughters, and I've had girl workers for 25 years. And believe me, they feel everything. They feel things that aren't even there. And so we men don't feel them. We come into the house and we're a half hour late. We don't even sense and feel that she's feeling a little bit irritated for waiting. We don't even recognize. We don't even notice it. Because we got our head out there in that truck or out there in that garage yet. And then we'll eat and then we'll go sit on the chair and read a book, and she has to wash dishes and clean up the table. And it's already late because we made her late. And she's got to take care of the children. You got to do all these things. And while she's doing this, how is she supposed to have loving thoughts? How it works. If we allow it to, that's how it works. May I do a call on you, men? How many of you men think that what I'm saying even partly makes sense? Raise your hand. No, raise your hand. We want to see your hand. Thank you for being here. Thank you. So women, when you say we don't understand you, maybe we understand you better than you think. The thing is, we're men. And just because we're not feeling it doesn't mean we don't understand it. It's just that because we don't feel it, we don't notice it, and then we just go on. But it's being very disrespectful. And so we wonder, why aren't the children more respectful? Well, guess why? More is caught than is taught. We teach them to be disrespectful. How do I know? Because I know by experience. Yes, by experience. But children, I'd like to share something with you. If mom and dad are not respectful to each other, if they aren't that model parents that you would like to see, you know what? It does still not free you from obeying. It still does not free you from respecting their position in the family. Maybe you have a hard time respecting dad for what he does. Maybe you do. But remember, his position as the father of the home is still the position of the father of the home. And you have to respect that position because God put it there. It's God's anointing. And that is what we need to learn, is we want to have hearts that follow Jesus Christ. And you know, we cannot do any of this unless we go back to last night's message, our identity in Jesus Christ. When our identity is in Jesus Christ, then we will humble ourselves enough to actually follow what this says. Because husbands, I can tell you, I know for sure, I'm 99.999% sure that every one of us have had times when we did not love our wives when we were supposed to. And she knows it.
and she knows it. She could feel it. And yet we want her to respect us. And we want her to reverence us. And we want her to submit to us. It is a high calling. So youth, if you think about marriage, it's not a picnic. When you think about marriage, you are committing yourself, boys, loving her, cherishing her, take care of her, to raise a family that is godly, to take full responsibility, to walk in godliness, in holiness, in pureness. And for those of us already committed to that, you know, if we fail at this point, there's one thing I want to tell you. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. You can start right now. We can start right now. We can confess these faults to Jesus Christ tonight. And we can be forgiven. And we can talk to our wife and say, "Wife, I know how many times I have not loved you through my stubbornness, through my ignorance, through my whatever it is. Brothers and sisters, I would just love tonight to be one of those nights when all of us at home have time together after children go to bed, and we just talk about these things, and tomorrow night, and we just get these things where they need to be, because that is what brings respect in the families. And children, I would like for you to be on your knees talking to Jesus. If you have struggled with your daddy or your mommy, just talk to Jesus about it. And what I'm going to tell you is this, is that if God tarries, and 10, 15 years from now, guess what's going to happen? Quite a few of you are going to have children that are going to be struggling with you if you do not repent of those struggles now and deal with them now. Because you will carry those feelings with you into marriage. And guess what? You will probably disrespect your husband. You will probably not love your wife. And this pattern will keep right on going. And we will have disrespect in the homes. And it keeps right on going. It talks about servants in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now as I serve as men pleasers by the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same on things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to go to Titus 2 because it gives us a little bit of teaching. Actually, gives us a lot of teaching if we want to receive it. But in Titus chapter 2, it's going to talk to the elders first. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. He's telling this to Titus. He's telling him what to speak about, how to teach the congregation. He says that the aged men be sober. So those of you out there that have a little bit of age, you know, maybe you're 35, maybe you're 40, 45, you have a family. You know, we need to be a little bit sober because grave and temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. That we're sound in these things, with patience with the family, patience with our wives, patience in these things. Because that genders respect. That's where respect comes from, is from these things. And then it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. So aged women, those of you who have children that are close to married age, you know, you have teenagers, you have adult teenagers, you have young married. It says that your behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. You know, don't falsely accuse other people of problems and things. Don't falsely blame the church when your children didn't turn out right. Don't do that. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What did that say? Women, is this saying that women, if you do not teach your young girls to live properly, and these young girls grow up, and they do not submit to their husbands, and they do not reverence him, and they are not godly, they're not chaste, they're not keepers at home, that they are blaspheming God? The word of God is being blasphemed? Is that what that's saying? That's what that's saying.
Now you look at the world around us. We have all these moms going to work. They're not keepers at home. They're not chaste. They run ahead of the husbands. I hear it in the restaurant all the time. Who's the boss around there? Oh, I know who's the boss. They say, look at my wife. My wife says, I'm not the boss. They get a funny look on their face. It's not even normal anymore for the woman not to be the boss in the world. And this is my concern. If you look at history, the church is almost always about 40 years behind the world. Things that the world fought about 40 years ago, we start accepting into the church today. Let's be careful. The Word of God is firm, it stands, it will never move, it will always be there. And so what was sin 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, is also still sin today. It always will be. It will never change. So if we don't want the Word of God to be blasphemed, we have to take this serious. We have to take it serious. Young men, likewise. Young men, likewise. You know what that word likewise means? Everything that I just read applies to you. Likewise. And then it says, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So young men, when you're out on the job, or when you're with your sisters at home, have sound speech. Be discreet. Understand. They are the weaker vessel. Treat them as such. When you see boys tussling with their sisters and just maybe just, you know, maybe snapping them or doing things that are disrespectful, you know, that's just not a good thing. Because if you carry that with you into marriage, you're going to misuse your wife too. And boys, maybe I should say this to the girls. There's this thing that says, as a boy treats his mother, that's how he's going to treat his wife. So you think this young boy is really nice looking. You think he would just be so wonderful. But then you see him just be a real snotty to his mother. You see him just say things that hurt her. If you really have the Spirit of God, you better be careful. Because the boy that doesn't respect his mother, you just think what it is. I'm going to finish with starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Brothers, the grace of God is available. If we have failed, he will redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Mothers, if you've failed standing with your husband, if you've undermined him in any way, if you've not loved him like you should, or if you've not submitted like you should, or whatever, you've not reverenced him like you should, you know, here it is. The grace of God will take care of it. You just have to repent. You just have to repent. Same way with the men. Children, if you struggle with your parents, just repent of it. The grace of God will take you through, because the time will come, before you know it, you might be parents, and all of a sudden, about 10, 15 years later, you say, wow, no wonder my parents did this. This is not the way I thought it was. And life will look totally different. It will look totally different. Another thing I'll tell you, youth, is that when you are 21, life will look a lot different than it does at 16 and 17 and 18. And I can tell you why. Because God created it that way. Why do you think that God, in the wilderness, held them accountable for 20 years and older? He held accountable for one generation that he didn't. Why did he do that? Because it's a scientific proven fact that the part of the human brain that understands long-term consequences is not fully developed till you're 20 years old. So anybody that's still a teenager, their brain is not developed enough to understand long-term consequences. And what I'm talking about that is this.
A 15-year-old's out on his bike. He's ripping around on his dirt bike, and he's just messing around. And like he could never get hurt. Oh, I'm all right. Well, what he doesn't understand is long-term consequences. He doesn't understand that if he kills himself, he's not just dead, but his mom and dad are grieving. His brothers and sisters are grieving. The church is grieving. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't have the mentality to think that far. They can understand short-term consequences. They understand that if they're naughty, you spank them. They understand that. But the long-term consequences. So the children of Israel that were 18, 19, you know, they did the things that the children of Israel weren't supposed to do, just like the others. But it wasn't their fault because they mentally were not able to make long-term decisions and understand what's going to happen way down the road. But the ones 20 years older did. And so God kept them accountable. And for that reason, children, it is so important that you submit to your parents until you're 21, because then I have seen this over and over and over. Once you're 21, life looks totally different to you than it does at 17 or 16 or 15 or 18. It really does. It looks totally different. There comes a time when they turn about 21 years old and they settle down, and all of a sudden life starts looking more serious. They start realizing that, wow, what am I going to do? See? And that's why we have to be respectful to our parents. That's why God asks us to obey, to listen to them. Because if you wait until you're mature to make your own decisions, then you will be mature enough to make them. And that is how this works. It says in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. And praise the Lord. Hopefully that's how I was able to do that, is just do this with the authority that the Word of God has, which is authority from God, to give you teaching on if you want respect in the home. God has an order, and if we follow that order, we will have respect in the home. God never fails. And when it's failing, then we are failing. And the only way to correct failure is through repentance. Always through. Without repentance, there's no remission of sins. Without repentance, there's no revival. You know, without repentance, we cannot go to heaven. So, brothers and sisters, thank you for this weekend. May the Lord bless you. And I trust that you will take to heart some of these last things we talked about as families, and that we can learn to have a godly fear and a reverence and a respect and walk together in love and look forward to the day, all the day, when we can walk up to Jesus. Oh, the day. Oh, the joy. And I was going to finish up with Revelations. I forgot where it says, He will wash away all our tears. He will wipe them all away. We won't have to cry anymore in sadness. And then He says, He that is thirsty, come. He that it will, come. Take up the water of life.
Righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you. Father, we just bow before you, Lord. So we just know that we. Father, we just know ourselves. But oh, the joy, Father, when we see your love for us that you have shown us through the blood of Jesus at the cross and the resurrection. And your grace, Lord, that is always for us in your love. Oh, Father, we praise you. We just pray that we can all have mommy and daddy, Father, we can just go home. Lord, if we can take your word, we can read it for ourselves, we can apply it to our lives. Oh, help us men to love our wives. Oh, help the wives who respect and reverence and submit to their husbands. Oh, Father, help the children to have respect for their parents. And even when we fail, Lord, help us to respect your anointing. Father, we pray and bless this congregation, Lord. We believe that they love you and they strive to worship you, Lord. And we just pray your Holy Spirit to be with them, to guide them, to direct them, to help them. And oh, we see all the little children here, Lord. And we know that each one is worth more than this whole world and all the giftiness. Oh, Father, may the blood of Jesus, not the nation. And may each one of those children of the Lord come to you and be become to God. Father, we just commit them into your care. We just pray that you would bless them and keep them and nourish them and keep them in your will. So Jesus returns, that we may all be with you. May they just endure until the end, Father, that we all can be saved. Thank you. Thank you.